What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to a Monday edition of Long Shots. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin here. Going to recap real quick what happened this past weekend. Spoiler alert, it was great. What went on over there in the Farmers Insurance Open. Take a quick look at the odds board as we head into the AT&T, see if there's anything we want to bring forward with us as we look into some of these other tournaments that are coming up as well. Kelly Bidlin, you and I made our debut here on Long Shots last week. Open things up with an outright winner, Max Homa, 13 under for the Farmers Insurance Open. Wins by two strokes over Keegan Bradley, who we also had. So feeling pretty good here to kick things off. Keegan, two strokes behind at 11. Morikawa with an outright third in that one. 1.56 million for Homa, 948,000 for Keegan, and then 600 for Morikawa for our one and done players out there. By the way, with our full podcast that we're going to be doing on Tuesdays, Kelly, we are going to give some one-and-done thoughts at the end as well. So stick around for that if you are in any of these big one-and-done tournaments.
Yeah, good. Absolutely. We'll start working those in. We got to get our own going. We failed to set that up. But yeah, me, you, and Wes got to get one going, that's for sure, because that will add some added intrigue into those Tuesday ones. But yeah.
Spice it up a tad, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So what are we up to? Six wins for Max Homa on tour now. Matt, I think the big thing to bring up here about that tournament is Homa, and something you bring up often when talking about golf handicapping and the win equity part of it. And this guy has it at this point. I mean, it's when you can look down an odds board and we talk about betting outrights, that's a major factor. How often can these guys truly go out there and win? And I think Sunday, you know, really encompassed, or Saturday, I should say, Saturday really encompassed that more than what you normally see in a tournament, right? You saw him pull away from a pack of good players, really good players, world-class players, and catch that guy who, you know, maybe didn't belong in that group, who then ended up falling back, right? But I think that takes some mental fortitude along with a great game to be able to pull that off. So another great win by Max Homa. I believe you and Wes, right, both had outrights on them. What this makes for me, Matt, is a milestone tournament. It is the first tournament now where I just bet a finishing position bet on a guy that went on to win it outright. I was wondering when that day would come, and the day has arrived. Max Homa, you are the guy. So yeah, I'm a little upset with myself. I didn't end up betting that outright on him, but
a win's a win's a win's a win, right?
Exactly. And tip the cap to you, sir, because it doesn't take much talking me into a Keegan Bradley bet. But as soon as you started talking about him, I grabbed a top five. I was like, good enough for me. If Matt likes him, I'm always like him. So I'll grab that at 12-1. So that was a big cash for me this weekend. And like you said, a great start for us here on the Long Shots.
Yeah, it was good stuff here. And I'm glad you brought up that win equity point, because I do want to drive that home here, and something you're going to hear us talk about certainly throughout the course of the golf season here on the big pod. And what we want are guys that can close. What we want are guys that possess whatever that is, that is able to go ahead and get these bets home. And listen, you know, I took a shot on a guy that that Kelly and I have bet many a times in Brendan Steele. And, you know, I did a top 10 on Brendan Steele because my numbers played out. Brendan Steele finds himself after two rounds right at the top of the leaderboard, comes back and goes 76-75 on the weekend, because that's just kind of what Brennan Steele does. The win equity for him is just almost non-existent. And that's why when we take some of these guys, and Kelly, this is a point that I think you and I will really try to drive home. There are going to be some guys that we've really just never bet outrights on, but you're going to see us bet these top 20s on these guys all the time, or top 30s or top 40s. You're going to be like, guys, why do you always bet these guys top 40 or off top 30 or top 20 and you don't ever bet these guys outright? And it's because they don't win and they have no win equity whatsoever. They are good enough to hang around. They're good enough. They're professional lurkers, Kelly. That's what we call them.
Professional lurkers.
That's what we called them. They're professional lurkers, but they just don't win these tournaments. And you know, look, they're good to keep your bankroll healthy, but they are very bad to drain your bankroll if you continually bet them with outrights.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and you know, examples of this, right? If you're asking, it's, you know, it's how we talked about Tony Finau a year and a half ago,
right?
Or a year ago. I mean, even a year ago, but a year and a half ago, that's how we talked about Tony Finau. You know, in the second place, Keegan Bradley, I think, is a guy you could make that case for, right? Like Keegs can go, you know, real low or real high, depending on the day. I don't know about you guys, but I got a little nervous when he had to start putting the pedal to the floor there on those last couple holes, where I'm like, oh boy, Kings is going to be going for it here. He might play himself right out of this top five. A couple other guys that I don't know what all stood out to you at the tournament, but another top 20 bet that I got home, that, man, this guy is, I don't want to sound the alarms, but someone to keep an eye on here is Jason Day, just continuing to play well now. You know, T7 finishes 8 under. I don't really know if I was in the camp of believing we were going to see a big resurgence from this guy. I don't know, maybe ever again, but he's been looking good here the past couple months.
So I played him in one and done this week. So that was my, in the big one and done tournaments. I played him because there are a couple different reasons. One, you know, lots of track record at that course. Yep. Secondly, injury history with Jason Day of recent. I wanted to get him while he's healthy. I wanted to get him before he had time to maybe, you know, let some of these back injuries that have been lingering, you know, creep back in. Yep. So I just wanted to get at him early. I ended up playing him a one and done. It was, you know, good for 282,000 for him. Another guy that was good for 282,000 is John Rahm, who shoots a round 173, comes back to go 67-66, but then shoots 74 there in round four. And Kelly, listen, for me and for you, I think for golf bettors everywhere, hallelujah that he can shoot 74 still on Sunday, because had he gone out and shot another 66 or something like that on Sunday, golf betting was going to be ruined for us. I mean, like, it was going to be horrible. And so, you know, the fact that John Rahm isn't going to go out, and even if he finds himself, you know, in that top three, he's not just a shoe-in to win the tournament. At least for us right now, it was a blessing in disguise, certainly for me, because, I mean, we were about to get into a point where we couldn't even play outrights anymore. We're basically just going to only be in placement markets.
I mean, I only bet one outright last week because I already felt we were starting to see it. I thought that range, you know, when Homa was right in that range of kind of guys on the odds board that I didn't really think had been adjusted for. It felt like they had cut John Rahm's odds almost in half, essentially, right? And then didn't adjust anybody, you know, past him to about 30-1. So, I mean, that was really why I stayed away mainly from the outright. So you're right. We dodged a bullet there. I ended up getting in on him live on that. What was it? Thursday, when he was making a strong push, ended up getting in on him live in that round. But like, I completely agree with what you just said. I'm happy to throw away a few bucks on that live bet, if that doesn't mean John Rahm isn't going to go full Tiger Woods on us and kind of ruin golf outright betting.
Yeah, listen, we had Homa, we had Bradley. If you kind of go down the board a little bit further, there were some other guys that, listen, made the cut. I mean, that were never really in contention. I had a 300-1 on Bramlett. He finishes T13. So we're at least one of the things I like to do. We talked about the Brennan Steele collapse and all of that, but he did make the cut and was around. Jonathan Vegas again made the cut and was around. So we had these tickets on these guys that are there. And that's kind of one of the ways that I go back when the tournaments are over. And even if the guys weren't in contention, listen, was I on guys that made the cut? Were I on guys that, like, you know, were at least around and all that? And at least lets us know that maybe the process was right and was there, and we were kind of sniffing in the right direction. We'll say this a million times also on this podcast and move forward. Only one guy can win a golf tournament. So like hitting these outrights, there's 150 guys going to be teeing it up. Only one guy can win a golf tournament. So we're, as long as you're getting guys to make the cut, they can find themselves around. That's kind of what we're looking for here, Kelly. So I think we did pretty good in this first go at it. One of the guys I think too, to keep an eye on. I mean, listen, supposedly has a new swing, has whatever, Ricky Fowler, T11 right there. He's around. You've got, you know, Finau did have the bad round in there on Sunday at the 73, but, you know, he's still a top 10 guy or whatever. So I think even, these guys.
Even that, Matt, it was just a bad putting day, really, right? I mean, it was like an atrocious putting day. But, yeah, I mean, I think Finau, he showed he could bounce back from that a little bit. So I'm not really too worried about him at all. Ricky Fowler, that's dang impressive and great to see. I think if you're the PGA Tour, you got to be thrilled, Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky playing better. I mean, he's one of the biggest draws you get at a tournament, period. I think that's great with all the stuff going on with Liv right now. Hideki playing well, finished inside the top 10. He's a guy, man. I feel like I can never bet because you never know what's coming with him.
Yep.
I think, you know, Fowler's next big step here is, okay, cool. He's shown some flashes. He's just got to put together some more consistency. It felt like he was just watching him in that final round. It's like he'd go one good hole, one bad hole, one good hole, one bad hole. And even sometimes, I mean, geez, the scorecard even says that. It's birdie, birdie, you know, par, bogey, birdie, bogey, birdie. It's like it was just kind of all over the place.
Super colorful for him, for sure. One other guy I want to talk about, and then we'll move on to the AT&T here, is just, Will Zalatoris goes 68, then 77 to miss the cut. I just have to wonder, listen, we'll hear what he has to say as we head into, the next tournament that he plays. We'll hear what, comes out from all these golf beat writers that get to talk to these guys. But I do wonder if there was any sort of injury thing that went on. We know that he was coming back off injury. We know that that is at least out there. Did he stiffen up? Did he whatever? I don't know. But again, it goes 68-77 to miss the cut. And I think for me with old Willie Z, Kelly, no matter what my model tells me, I think I'm going to need to see it on the course first before I come back in on him with an outright, unless these numbers just drift to a point where it's just egregious.
Yes, I agree. I was wondering where you were going to go there. I don't think he's going to be taken off my betting board completely, but I'm right there as far as an outright perspective, man. I'm right there with you on him right now, and Colin Morikawa. I mean? Yeah, and that might be recency bias a little bit because I just got burned on him a couple weeks ago. But look, man, I think I was impressed he was able to, bounce back and play as well as he did this tournament. But after what Rom did to him in that tournament, I'm a little worried about his just mental fortitude about closing, right? I mean, how we just started this podcast talking about Homa and closing. I need to see that from Morikawa, I think, before I'm on him in an outright bet again.
So we move on to Pebble Beach. We've got the AT&T here. This is a Pro-Am. It's a three-course rotation, full on. Going to go ahead and tell you guys right now, not going to be an extensive card for me. I hate this tournament.
Yeah, me too.
I hate the three different course rotation. The only course that we have shot link data on, obviously, is just the Pebble Beach course. And so it's just, we don't have the shot link data for the other stuff. It goes back into that weird thing again, Kelly, where it's like, are these guys okay with playing these 6 hour rounds and dealing with the three, the 54 hole cut instead of the way. So it's just lots of stuff for me, but top of the odds board is going to be a little thin, guys, because a lot of the players are overseas right now playing over in Abu Dhabi. So it's Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland are really your big three names here. 11, 11 and 12. Over at DraftKings right now. And then it is all the way to 20 at Mav McNealy, Tom Hoagie at 22, Seamus Power at 22, just to kind of let you know the gigantic fall off when it comes to star power at this thing. Kelly, like I said, I'm not going to have a ton of action in this thing. If for me, I'm never going to stay near the top of the board for this either. With the three-course rotation, I think a lot of wacky things can happen. I'm probably going to have three or four outrights. It's probably going to be in the mid-range, and we'll just kind of regroup here in a couple weeks at Waste Management whenever we get the elevated prize pool and everybody's going to be there.
Yeah. The yeah, no, completely agree with you. This is always one I try to tread lightly on, but you know, just looking at this odds board and who's taking place, I don't want to say I'm surprised to hear you say that, but the problem is with this odds board and the way these outright numbers are shaping up. Man, if Fitzpatrick, Spieth, Hovland, almost any of the three of them, I still think I'd rather bet those guys at those kind of numbers than a, you know, McNeely, Seamus, Power, you know, at not even double or double the odds. Feels like there should be a bigger separation there. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if I land on maybe one of those shorter shot guys and then sprinkle in some long shots. The one guy I am disappointed, because I think you and I were both on him a couple weeks ago, is Andrew Putnam. He was another guy I was kind of looking to play off of, and maybe I'll still end up on him again. Me and you will be running all our models and everything. We'll be getting back in that tomorrow's show, but just seeing him at 28-1, hurts a little bit, because I was hoping to get him at a little bit longer number than that.
As you guys start your research tonight and tomorrow, and just remember, this is nothing like last week. It is shorter courses, should be easier setups because of the pro-am that we've got going on as well. So the conditions and what type of player can be successful here is much, much different than what we got last week. So that is not something that we are going to be really taking into consideration at all. I mean, we look at past winners here, shorter guys, kind of guys that aren't known, you know, Daniel Berger, Jordan Spieth. We've got those type of guys that have had success here. And, you know, it's also doesn't have to be a who's who, really. We've had Brant Snedeker win, Jimmy Walker win. We've had Ted Potter win. Yeah, I mean, we've had Hoagie win at 66 last year. So you don't always have to be one of the favorites to win this thing either. So just kind of keep that in mind. Scores are going to be pretty low, going to be in that 17, 18, 19, 20-ish range as far as who's going to win this deal. So going to have to play well. I'm going to have to play well for all four rounds if you want to get it done at this deal. Again, it's Monterey, Spyglass, and Pebble Beach. Only Pebble do we have shot link data on as you go back and start to do your research. Kelly, I know that we will get Wes on here tomorrow. You and I will run through the models, see what we've got going on, see if there's anything that we have, you know, that we want to get in the account fairly early here. But fellas, if you want to look again, the top of the odds board, I don't think we're going to get a ton of movement here. I don't think this tournament's going to draw a ton of early action. I don't, you know, again, without all the star power, I just think everyone's going to see 11 on Matt Fitzpatrick or 11 on Spieth or 12 on Hovland. I can't imagine people are going to be piling in the money on those guys. So I don't think you got to act fast, but I guess I could be wrong, Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree, but yeah, you know, you never know. that is true with some of these guys and some of these tournaments, right? I mean, like this one is a little bit funkier. You know, if someone's just looking at tournament history, obviously Jordan Spieth has done really well here. Second place last year, T3 the year before, T9 the year before that. So, you know, pretty consistent results from that guy. Hey, just real quickly, we'll get into all this stuff tomorrow, but if you are doing, you know, some of your own course handicap at home, just remember, you know, as Matt mentioned a bit, this is a shorter course. You know, when we're talking about the Pebble Beach one, at least where they'll play the final two rounds, shorter course, you got small greens. That, you know, this is kind of the first time we're going to see smaller greens here this season. And then you got wider fairways too. So it's a little bit different course to handicap. I wish, Matt, they would just play four rounds at Pebble Beach and we could actually get rid of this pro-am. You know, it's a beautiful place to watch. I love watching it on TV. I just hate the tournament setup. You know what I mean? I hate the pro-am part and I hate the three course rotation.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. Rough's going to be short, all that different thing. Like, there's going to be scoring here, guys. So don't overthink it. It's going to be playing fairly simple. So that kind of keep that
second shortest course on tour.
In your handicap here, guys. Always head over to VSiN.com. Wes does an incredible write up of the course and the course preview and things like that. So be sure and go in and read that before you start all of your research as well. Wes puts in a ton of work to kind of get you prepped for what you need to look at as we head in to the AT&T Pro-Am. And again, this is going to be a shorter card for, I think, most of us, most likely, as we head into the first really, really big tournament here of 2023, which we're going to get that elevated prize pool there at the Waste Management heading into the Super Bowl as well down there in Scottsdale. For Kelly, I'm Matt. Tune into the full episode of Long Shots tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.